Hallelujah. The anointing is so strong tonight. We praise you. Thank you, Lord. We just soak in your presence. Hallelujah. That anointing is breaking every yoke of bondage over everyone right now. Anyone who had a challenging week, cast your care on the Lord right now, for he cares for you. Hallelujah. Just receive of his anointing. He's present with you. Let the Lord just minister to each of us. Thank you, Lord. Shower us with your love. Shower us with your peace that passes all understanding. Shower us with your joy, with your patience, with all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Well, tonight we're going to continue with a series that was started a while back at some 6 p.m. services. December 11, 2015, and then part two at August 19, 2016. And this is the first 7 p.m. service that we're doing. So I'm going to do some summaries. And as those of you that have heard this message before, I just believe that God will give us all fresh revelation as we hear the summaries and as we dig deeper into those diamond mines of the Word of God to receive more of his wondrous revelation. And that Word of God washes us. It's the only thing that can wash us, with the watering of the Word of God. Amen. And as he shows us how much more we can become more like Jesus. Amen. So I love digging into the Word. I love studying it. I love to see what else he's going to show me. Something else. Amen. So when we have that glad expectation, then he meets us where we're at. If a person says, oh, gee, I've heard that before, it's boring. You know, I don't think God's boring. I don't think his Word is boring. And if I ever get to that place, it means that I might not be concentrating on the things of the kingdom of God. I might be thinking about something in the world, and therefore it's a distraction, you know? So then what I have to do is like a TV, you have the remote control clicker. You can change the channel at any time. So we can change the channel in our mind to say, you need to refocus. You need to get back and seeking first the kingdom of God and letting ourselves receive from the Holy Spirit that which he wants to give us then. Because see, you know, the Word of God is like an onion. The more you peel the layers back, and the more it can dig deeper and deeper and deeper and take out a layer of flesh, take out another layer of flesh. And there's a lot of layers, you know what I mean? But thank God that the Word is washing all those layers of flesh off of us. And we're becoming more and more like him, engrafting ourselves into the Word of God. Amen. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to water in our hearts the seed that has already been planted of that good word. And you know, when there's been a drought, and you see in the state where we live, we get a lot of brown grass. It's very hard to see rolling green hills when there's a drought. And when the water comes, when the rain comes, just all of a sudden, immediately the grass starts getting green. The flowers start to bloom again. The fruit isn't dried up, and it becomes more luscious and juicy. And it's a refreshing, is it not? And so we're going to allow God to do that for us tonight. the refreshing through the Word of God, watering us and cleansing us. Amen. So let's start. Page one, overview. Healing Belongs to You, Part 3. This Bible study will use some of Kenneth E. Hagin's book, Healing Belongs to Us, which explains how healing belongs to born-again believers. And ABC Church teaches how to activate your God-given rights for divine health as citizens of heaven. See, we don't belong in the world. When we're born again, we belong to the kingdom of God. We live on earth, but that's not where our citizenship is. Our king is not the political leader of this nation, although we submit to our authority and the leaders. Our true king is Jesus, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we are learning to live at a higher standard than the world's standard, because God's standard is higher. His ways are higher than man's ways. Amen. And ABC Church also teaches you how to implement all the healing methods to get effective, lasting results, because healing belongs to you. Do you know how many people that we have prayed for over the years that get healed? And the next time we see them and they come back, either the challenge has returned and really this time it's hard to get out, or it's like a yo-yo. They receive their healing, then they, you know, are challenged to lose their healing. That's what they say. And then they get their healing again, and then they say they lose their healing again. I'm thinking to myself, how can you lose something that was already given to you? If it belongs to you, you can't lose it. It's yours. Right? Your name was given to you. You can't lose your name. Right? It belongs to you. Now you can change your name. You can adjust your name to a nickname. You could do whatever you want with that name, but it's yours. We have to look at healing and our covenant rights and the promises of God as though they are ours, because they are, and no one can take them from you when you have that mindset. Amen? If Jesus paid for it, he didn't give you a refund when the person said they lost their healing, right? But what happened was the person gave in to the enemy, and we're going to look at some of the tricks of the enemy so that we will be reminded of that scheme of the devil or how he operates, so we can be reminded how you and I are greater than the devil. He should be under our feet, and greater is he that's in you and me than he that's in the world, right? Okay. So let's see what is ours and what is not ours, okay? Letter A, when healing doesn't bring results. Frequently asked questions by those needing healing. Why is it that some are healed instantly while others trudge from place to place seeking healing only to be disappointed time after time? I know a lot of people ask me that question, and I really had to ponder that, because I wanted to analyze what was the deal. And I realized that each person is in a different place spiritually, and each person may have different prayer supporters. Some have none, and others have great praying grandmas that they don't care what happens or what it looks like. That grandma's going to pray over that grandchild and their children, and they're calling those things that are not as though they were. And so all of a sudden, it looks like that person, all of a sudden, miraculously got healed, but you don't know that grandmother might have been praying for 35 years. You know what I mean? Don't ever judge yourself against somebody else. Wherever you are doesn't make you less of a Christian. God loves you the same. don't think that you're a failure because you don't have instantaneous this or that or whatever. We're not a microwave church. It's not a drive-through. It's not a give me that and I'll take it and run with it. God wants us to grow in our faith. And as we grow, then we will also grow in maintaining the promise and not letting the lying symptoms try to mask what's already yours and make you think you've lost it when that's not true. Okay? B, why is it that some who are pillars in the church often suffer for years while others are less devout or seem less devout? Because you don't really know what they're doing at home, and receive a sudden miracle from God. There is a married couple that I know, and they don't go to this church. And when we were doing a ministry before we came to ABC, the Lord had us handpick certain leaders. And at different times when they would come, and we would be praying and the Lord would say, I want you to invite that person to be your assistant. And then we'd be praying and the Lord would say, I want you to invite that person to be assistant. We saw their faithfulness. We saw that they weren't weary and well-doing. We saw that they were faithful and loyal. They had integrity, that God knew their heart. And there was one person who the husband was not as studious as in his Bible as the wife was. The wife had really been walking with the Lord for a long time, and she prayed daily without fail. She read her Bible. She was out ministering to people. God was using her, and the husband sometimes would pick up his Bible. It got more dusty than not, so when she was dusting the house, she'd have to dust his Bible off, and she would try to get him to pray with her, and he was like a hit-and-miss Christian. But he loved God. But what happened was we had a healing seminar. We had many seminars that we would do all over the different countries in the world. And sometimes they'd be 3 days, you know, 8-hour seminars, and we'd minister to people. And we were at this one church, and I was ministering, and I love to see what God does because it's not me, you know, when people say, can you pray for me? I said, no, I'll ask that God to bless you because it's not me. I don't want them to think it's me. It has to be always glorifying God, okay? And so the Lord says to me, I want you to call up a healing line right now. I said, I'm not even done with my sermon yet. They didn't even get to hear all the good stuff. I worked so hard at this. He said, call up the healing line now. Aye, aye, sir. You know, he's the boss. And so I said, okay, Lord, whatever you say. And so I said, well, looks like God wants to heal people now. 75% of the church came forward. And so we were on a timeline, which God knew that if 75% of them came up, we wouldn't be done on time because, we, you know, whenever the church invites you, you have to do what that pastor says. And so you'd be invited back. And it's just plain old manners, you know. So, I went, oh God, you're so wise. Thank you for telling me that. Cause then we would go overtime by the time you prayed for everybody. And so I just had the ushers line them up and I just lay hands on, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, be healed, you know, evangelistically to pray for them. And a couple of them, the Lord would have me minister to a little bit longer. And this man I'd never seen before in my life came up and he was standing there and I didn't know what he needed from the Lord. It didn't matter to me. The anointing is the anointing. It can heal cancer. It can heal a cold. It can heal a pimple. Same anointing. Doesn't matter to me, right? So as long as I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. That's what the word says, and that's what I believe, and that's the way I operate. So I laid hands on him as an evangelist, and then the Lord said to me, tell him to run around the room 3 times. I said, sir, the Lord says you're to run around the room 3 times. He said, I don't think so. I said, do whatever you want, but if you want your healing, that's what God said to do. And he looked at me and he goes, okay. And he started to hobble. The man couldn't hardly walk. And I realized he was very challenged. And it took him a long time. And I just kept saying, let's just be, you know, extending our hands toward this man. Stay in faith with him. Let the anointing in you just go from rivers of living water out of your innermost belly. The anointing in you go out to this man to help him. And just, we just thank you, Lord, that this man has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, this man has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. We just kept praying with that man as we extended our hands, and pretty soon coming around, got a little bit faster, and then he was running. He was sprinting at the third lap. And then he comes around and he says, my doctor told me I would never run again. And he was wrong. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm like, good thing I didn't know ahead of time, because that would have been a little scary if you step out in faith, you know, and you just tell somebody something. And so you just have to obey God. You just have to do what he tells you to do, because your mind would override and say, but the doctor told him he's not going to be able to run anymore. And then maybe the person would be too scared to say what God told them to say. Because see, the word of God tells the truth. And it overrides fact. And it makes that fact become truth. Because that's how God saw him. And he said he had been confessing that he was healed by the stripes of Jesus. How did he get it? He confessed it. He believed it. But he had to take a step of faith. He was almost going to say, I can't. He was going to say, I can't. And he stopped himself. If he said, C-A-N-T, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. He would have canceled his faith. But see, when we obey the word of God, even if you don't hear it from a preacher, but you hear it from the word, that's the best place to hear it from, because Jesus is the word. There's an anointing on that written word. But when you activate that word, then it becomes yours, because it belongs to you, and you grab it and nothing's going to take it from you. Amen. It doesn't matter what it seems like. It doesn't matter what it feels like. It doesn't matter what it looks like. And it doesn't matter who said what about it. Because if it doesn't line up with the word of God, it's not true in the spirit realm. And you have to believe by faith what your kingdom says about you is what it says in the Bible, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? So that's why some people, that's what happened to him. He was the less devout person, all of a sudden got a miracle from God. So now him and his wife both volunteered to come and be on our team. And we had a healing ministry. And do you know, it was only like a couple months or so, the Lord says to my husband, this man that got that healing, he needs to become one of our assistants. I said, well, honey, he's a newbie. He says, I know, but that's what the Lord said. So we asked him and he said yes. And he said he had gotten, I think it was a challenge of an offense. And that's why he had a challenge really getting back into the swing of things of God, because he was really devout before. So he had a lot of faithfulness under his belt. But nobody knew that except his wife. We didn't know that. So he knew the word. He knew a lot of the word. So we were just obedient to the Lord. We interviewed him and we saw, oh, I see, Lord, what you're saying. And so he said, I'm excited because I wanted to be in leadership and give back to people what I received from God. And I knew God was going to use me. And his wife was a little upset because she said, why was he asked to be a leader and not me? And I'm the one that prays every day, and I'm the one that this, and I'm the one that's more devout, and I'm the one that, you know. And I said, you know, God has his timing. Don't give up. It's just whenever the Lord has his timing. And the problem was she had a challenge right there. You know, walking in unforgiveness. So she had to learn where things didn't bother him. He just forgave people right away. God saw his heart. He was actually living the word. And what he did know of the word he implemented and he didn't veer from it. But it, when he did get discouraged, he stopped reading the word a little bit, was infrequent. You know, when some people get challenged, and sometimes when they have a lot of reading to do or a lot of studying or a lot of affirmation, some people want to take a break, you know, but they don't realize that the devil doesn't take a break. And so he was taking a little vacation, but he was still living it and still confessing it. Although his wife didn't know that. So he memorized his scriptures and he would pray them every day. But she was observing from the outside because his Bible didn't get opened very often, thought that he wasn't praying at all and that wasn't what was happening. And he decided to have a closer relationship to God by spending more time with him. And it was kind of an interesting situation. But he was one of those that got healed immediately. So, is God a respecter of persons? Romans 2:11 says, for there is no respect of persons with God. God doesn't have favorites. He loves each one the same. But those that are going to be hearers and doers of the word, they will really see those results when they and draw closer to God, okay? Many people run from church to church or to conferences to get the gifts of healings or a miracle. And, you know, as mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12:8-10, as what the gifts of the Spirit are, it says, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge, to the same by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings and by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, and to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation tongues. So God had me operate in the gifts of healings that night. So when I laid hands on this man, he was healed instantaneously. Now his church did not teach much about healing, so he needed some help, and God wanted to alleviate, because he was diagnosed to have one of the most severe rheumatoid arthritis that even the medications were amped up to beyond the maximum of normal and still not be able to, it was a challenge not to help him. And the doctor thought he would just be challenged to become debilitated and become to a point of in a wheelchair and degenerating challenges. And so if he didn't step out in faith to run, he wouldn't have gotten his complete healing. He went back to his doctor and they couldn't find one iota of infirmity in his body. What? Oh, yes. Thanks. My husband reminded me. They took him off all the medication because he didn't need it. Lab tests were normal, and the doctor knew it was a miracle, and that was a witness to the doctor. Amen? And so what we see here is that Christians, a lot of them, came to the meeting because they knew it was going to be a healing meeting. And I started realizing that a lot of Christians run from church to church to conference seeking healing. They want people to lay hands on them. They want to be anointed with oil, because many Christians usually anoint with oil, and non-believers, you can lay hands on them. But in an evangelistic service, you can lay hands on everybody, because that's the way that the Lord allows us to operate. Or if the minister prays for you, those are all great things, and God uses them. But, you know, Kenneth Hagin, he had been in ministry for many, many years, and he noticed that when the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, it was for people that had come in from outside the church that was an unbeliever, or a believer that went to a denomination that didn't teach about the gifts of the Spirit or healing. They didn't know much about it. And so then God was advertising that he is all powerful and loving, and they would get healed, or the gifts would operate. Now, if that person got another challenge in the future and went up for prayer and wanted the same gifts of healings to operate on them, it wouldn't. They wouldn't get healed. And he noticed that the believers in Pentecostal or born-again spirit-filled churches who believed in the full gospel didn't need that, because the people learned that they would receive from God through faith. God wants us to grow in our faith and receive from Him and not seek people. Okay? So that was an important thing. So that's what this guy had to start learning, because then he had another challenge attack him, and he went up for prayer and he got hands laid on him, and he went home the same way he came, and he was a little disappointed and thought God was displeased with him. We said, no, let's train you. See, now God wants you to learn how to do it for yourself through the Word of God. He gave you the helper outer, okay? And you have to realize that the gifts work as the Holy Spirit wills. And we can't make it happen. And people who say it's going to happen, then they're going to operate in witchcraft. Because it's only as the Holy Spirit wills. Okay? So if the Holy Spirit didn't will to have that person be healed the next time the same way, it's up to him. Because he knows that he doesn't want to have spoiled children. He wants them to grow. And you can't have a testimony if there's no test. So he wants you to work on your tests, okay? And we need to distinguish between healings obtained through supernatural gifts and manifestations and those obtained by exercising faith in God's word alone. Now, number two, Israeli lepers did not get their healing because they did not implement their covenant rites when God promised that he is the Lord who heals them. As it says in Exodus 15:26, God said, "For I am the Lord who heals you." But Naaman, a Syrian, was healed of leprosy, but others that were Israeli did not get healed, even though it was their covenant with their God. Now in Luke 4:27, it says, "And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." Now Naaman traveled from very, very far from Syria to go to Samaria because he heard that the prophet Elisha could help him get rid of leprosy. That's a flesh-eating disease. There was a lot of lepers in those times. And Elisha, remember, asked for the double portion of his mentor, Elijah, which the Bible records that he did twice as many miracles as his predecessor. And he said to Naaman, "Go and wash in the Jordan seven times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." 2 Kings 5:10. Now, why didn't all the lepers in Israel go to Elisha and get healed too? They really didn't need a prophet to heal them because they knew their covenant. All they had to do was invoke their covenant rights, but they didn't do either. Naaman, who wasn't even under that covenant, believed, and he was cleansed. Now, number four, Jesus could only heal a few of the sick due to unbelief because no prophet is accepted in his own country. Mark 6:5 says, "Now he could do no mighty work there except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them." And the Amplified Classic Version says, "He laid his hands on a few sickly people," meaning they had a little cold, they had a tiny backache. It wasn't a big deal. They weren't blind or deaf or crippled or paralyzed, okay? And then it says in Luke 4:24, he said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." Number five, Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. In Matthew 13:58, it says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." Their unbelief hindered Jesus, and he could not do as much as he wanted to do because they weren't receiving. They didn't believe in him. They didn't believe his word. So number six says, some Christians focus too much on seeking healing instead of seeking Jesus, our healer, and his kingdom. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Remember that God has given us avenues or methods or points of contact by which we can release our faith in God's word, but it's the word of God that heals us. It's Jesus who is the word. It's Jesus who is the healer. And so don't let it fool you and think that the anointing of oil is going to heal you. It is a point of contact. It is a method by which you can receive your healing. But a greater way is to look at the word of God, confess it over yourself, believe it, and let the word of God do its job. Okay? That's what God wants us to do. It's just like healing belongs to us. It's, you know, you and I can receive what is actually ours and given to us. It's just like salvation is more than just a prayer, right? So you have to see that it's the word of God. It's more than just the method. Look to the healer. B, healing belongs to you. Healing has been provided for you. In the old covenant, Naaman the Syrian went to the Israeli prophet of God, Elisha, to get his healing. As it says in 2 Kings 5, 9 through 26. And it's really interesting when you read that story. He actually got mad because, I'm just going to give the synopsis. He was a very powerful man, and he thought, in my opinion, it was rude that the prophet didn't even come out to minister to him. He just told him to go wash. And he said, I've got a bunch of rivers in my own country. Why did I come down here just to go in a river? I came to see the man of God, and he didn't even come see me. And so his servant said, hey, you know what? Here's the deal. He's telling you something because it's what you need to do. And I'm giving the Karen summary on this, okay? And the updated version. So he said, oh, okay, I'm going to go do it. So here it was. Now he was obeying the word. See what I'm saying? Although he got mad, he repented of being mad. Then he figured it out, you know, because he had to get rid of the pride. What? He's not going to come minister to me personally? How come so-and-so didn't come lay hands on me? How come the minister seemed to bypass me and now I'm not going to get my healing? You know what? It's God and it's his power. Who cares if the minister didn't lay hands on you? It doesn't matter if you didn't get anointed with oil. It doesn't matter if you were overlooked, because God doesn't overlook you. And if you look in your word, that word is for you and you receive it for yourself. So he went ahead and he dipped down 7 times, like he said, in the Jordan. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, it says in verse 14. I love verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know. He didn't say maybe. No, he knows. I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. And now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him, but he refused, because you can't pay for the blessing of God. God gives it to you freely. Okay? And this was before Jesus' time. And then for it to become an eternal work, Jesus had to pay for it with his blood. And you see great faith there, and some that wasn't even Israeli. And so this is our God. You know, that was the Old Testament. How much more can you receive as a New Testament believer with Jesus as your Lord, with being born again, with being spirit-filled, with having the same dunamis dynamite power that raised Jesus from the dead, and how he operated in miracles, signs, and wonders? That same anointing is inside of each of us. It belongs to us, but we're not using it like we should. Let's go to letter B here. Through Jesus, we have a new covenant. B1B, that's where we're at. Through Jesus, on page 1. Through Jesus, we have a new covenant, because by whose stripes you were healed. 1 Peter 2:24. you were healed. So if you think I'm going to get healed when I do more affirmations, that's not the mindset. You should be affirming and praying because you have already been healed. You were healed. Now you're actually affirming and thanking God. You're actually sticking in the devil's face that what God did for you is what you're affirming. And see, have faith in God and God, and speak God's word. Don't have doubt and unbelief. Believe that you receive and you will have them, according to Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Why do we keep talking about it? Until you get it. That's what Brother Hagin said. Verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Another translation says, has a God kind of faith. Verse 23, for assuredly, it means for sure it's going to happen. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain of problems or challenges, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his or her heart, but believes that those things that he or she says will be done, he or she will have whatever he or she says. Whatever things you ask when you pray. Not after you pray, you think, if I don't see it happening, then it's not for real. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Naaman believed the minute he said, I'm going to go to the river. He didn't even stick his big toe in there yet because he believed he actually received right there. And his faith was put into action. So he came up the seventh time. He was healed. But in his heart, he was already healed. In his heart, he got it. In his heart, he saw that if he was obedient to the word of God, that he had it. D, healing is part of your covenant rights paid for by the blood of Jesus. So receive your healing. It's your right and it belongs to you, and don't let the devil take it back. Now, C, ABC Church recommends using all healing methods to get effective, lasting results. The primary method of healing and the secondary method of healing. And refer to ABC Healing School Semester 1 for the complete teaching of healing methods. And there were a couple of typos. But let's turn to page 2, healing methods. A, for some of you, this is a review. Those of you that it's not a review, please go to Healing School 1, start it, and then when you get to day 3, then you can understand more of this teaching. If you've already done it and you're still standing in faith for the full manifestation, may I suggest you go back and start over? Because every time you go, God takes another layer off of that onion and gives you more revelation of what you need to stand in your faith. Amen. A, primary methods for receiving your healing, praying in faith. A, God has provided healing for all people, regardless of where they are. B, identify where you are in knowledge and faith. C, select one of the tools listed below. Do it only once for each time and occasion of challenge. D, use of this tool becomes your point of contact for releasing your faith. This means that you do this only how many times? Once. Because you believe that you receive when you release your faith. When you receive it, you can't receive it again. You already got it. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So what is the primer that you only receive one time? Here's the point of contact. Anointing with oil, according to James 5:14-15, requires at least, you know, 3 people. And if there's only one of you and one minister, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are in agreement. Okay. Number 2, prayer of agreement. Matthew 18:19 requires at least 2 people. 3, asking in faith. Mark 11:24 requires 1 person asking God for healing. See, that's where we want everyone to get to. Use your faith so you get what you need from God. But until you get there, we're here to help you, okay? 4, prayer of authority. Mark 16:17, Mark 11:23, John 14:14. Requires 1 person who realizes that healing was paid for on the cross. Get through Healing School 1, 2, and 3 and go to School of Dominion 1, 2, 3 after you do Bible college. And if you already have done it, go through it again. Why? We grow in our authority and we will be able to see more advancement. 5, laying on of hands, Mark 16:18. Only a believer on a believer, only if minister is operating under the anointing, and on an unbeliever, any time, a sign and a wonder. 6, gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:4-11, for any person when manifestation of the gifts are flowing through a believer. Now, secondary methods for receiving your healing. What does that mean? You could do it over and over and over. Got it? Primary, only one time. Secondary, do it over and over and over. Why? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And we affirm our faith, okay, constantly. So A, recognize that health and healing belong to you, and Satan is trying to steal your healing that is yours. It belongs to you. Don't let him do it. B, having done all to stand, keep standing on your faith for healing. C, keep pressing in against the enemy by using the following tools as often and as many times as you deem necessary. Increase your doses if what you're doing isn't what you see as desired long-lasting results. It means you may not be doing enough, and you've got to check everything that you're doing. It is one of your actions for standing in faith and remaining in patience. 1, confessing your sins, 1 John 1:9 and James 5:16, to God frequently, especially before prayer and affirmations, to another person periodically, especially for cleansing. 2, prayer of affirmation, Mark 11:23, Hebrews 10:23. Do it aloud, or it's not effective, in the name of Jesus, increasing the number of repetitions. That's what I'm talking about. You might have to increase your dosage of repetitions. 3, you might need to increase your communion, 1 Corinthians 11:23-25, once per day as a lifestyle or frequently during challenges. 4, reading the Bible, Joshua 1:8. Reading is so important. You have to read the word of God. That's what cleanses us, especially healing scriptures, and read it aloud. 5, praise and worship, Psalm 8:2 and Matthew 21:16, Psalm 27:6-7 by 24. Christian music in your home is great, because demons don't like being around the anointing, and so play anointed worship music in your home. 6, worshiping God in your body. Praise stills the avenger, and so we praise him by A, dancing before the Lord, Psalm 150:4, B, lifting holy hands, 1 Timothy 2:8, C, kneeling or lying before him, Revelation 1:17. If you haven't done some of these, it's a reminder. Why don't you ask the Holy Spirit, you know, hey, maybe today I haven't danced before you. You know, is that okay if I dance before you? Mix it up. Do something new. Okay? Lifting holy hands, 1 Timothy 2:8. Kneeling or lying before him, Revelations 1:17. Do you know a lot of people don't like being still before the Lord because they just want to get going, 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 going? But he inhabits the praises of his people. And when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, dwell means you have to be in his presence. So chill out, relax, just be in his presence. 7, praying in tongues, Romans 8:26, 1 Corinthians 14:2-14. The more the better. An hour per day is a good goal. A lot of people who aren't receiving more advanced manifestation of the healing that they believe they've already received by faith, I find that a lot of them are not praying in tongues on a regular basis, because they're not building up their spirit on their most holy faith to get stronger. So if someone hasn't used their legs for a long time, you've got to do therapy on your muscles, or they will atrophy, or they'll freeze up on the person, and then their legs get so nimble and they look like little skeleton sticks instead of legs. And then they got to start using those muscles, building up the muscles. So start building up more of your spiritual muscles through praying in tongues more. A, fasting, Isaiah 58:6-8. Regular weekly fasting is necessary for an ongoing walk of victory. 9, breaking curses is so important. Matthew 12:29, Luke 10:19-20, 11:17-26. Severing the demonic ties created because of sins. How do you do that? If you don't know, then you need to go back to the school, or you haven't gone through those lessons, or if you don't see detachments of those ties like you want to, go back and study the lesson if you're a graduate and start redoing that. I find that when we're ministering to people and they're not using their prayer sheets, I ask them to pray the prayers that they normally pray out loud so I can hear and observe. That's what Pastor Joshua taught us, because many times the demons will have us forget, or challenge to forget. God has really blessed my memory, and the devil, you know, tried to really do a number on me, and I've seen just a tremendous, tremendous manifestation of the improvement. But what we saw in my own life and in other people's lives is that they needed to go back to the sheet. They were missing some of the prayers and not doing it effectively. And so may I encourage you, go back to your sheets, do it accurately, and then, you know, take a picture of it, download it on your phone, whatever, if you're not in a place where you can get your prayer books or prayer sheets. Let's go back to the fundamentals. 10, resist the devil by doing things your body does not want to do. If we are seeing challenges in certain areas, we have to say, Lord, what part of James 4:7 is not working in my life? Reveal where I'm not submitted to you. And therefore, I can't resist the devil in this area. And that's why the devil's not fleeing from me. So, example, a person with foot pain should use the foot in as normal a lifestyle as is possible, like that guy I ministered to. He didn't care what the doctor said. The doctor said, you'll never run again. And he's like, I don't care what he said. God said to do it, you see. And it was challenging to him. And he actually had left his cane at his seat, which I didn't know, because he wasn't able to walk without it before. But he came up by faith. Okay, subject to dealing with the pain. So it doesn't matter what the pain is. You keep doing it as best as you can. Any regular activity which requires the use of the foot should be used as an opportunity to press in against the devil. If it hurts, keep going. However, remember that a Christian should be obedient to authority and therefore should not disobey his or her doctor. But as the doctor sees the changes in you, will decrease the dosage, and the doctor will then see the miracle happening in your life. Some people feel a tiny bit of pain and quit. Come on, man. Tell the pain to go. It's a lie of the devil. It's a hindrance, okay? And the cause of the pain to be healed in Jesus' name, all right? So I hope this has helped you, and we will continue with this later in the future. That can you see how you need to really grab on and not let go of the healing belongs to you? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.